1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Market Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Marcus Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at marcustheaters.com.
Time to talk music news with our music guy who's on the road this morning. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
When I saw that you were on the road this morning, I thought, oh, he's at South by Southwest.
Yeah, no, that's next week, and I won't be there. But today we're in Cleveland. Came down last night. They opened a new exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame called Revolutionary Women in Music, Left of Center. And it's basically the era of Patti Smith, so the mid-70s up to the present. So you've got your Patti Smith and your Slater Kinneys and your Kim Gordons from Sonic Youth all the way up to Beyonce and Lady Gaga.
Trying to think who had Linda Ronstadt.
Well, that would all be previous. This is the, you know, punk rock, alternative rock, you know, some hip hop, some R&B.
So Blondie, you know, Deborah pop, Harry.
Pop. That would be pre. You know, this wow, is like I said, Debbie Harry would have worked here because, again, if you're using Patti Smith as a starting point. Then, you know, Debbie Harry and Blondie, you know, kind of came out of, were contemporaneous to that, but they're not included in that. They are in other places in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But, you know, it's a nice exhibit, very thoughtfully done. They had Shirley Manson from Garbage, Jane Wheatland from the Go-Go's down to help devote it or dedicate it. Lisa Loeb, Melina Moyes, who's a great guitarist, and she actually opened the exhibit with an instrumental electric guitar piece rather than a ribbon cutting, which is appropriate.
So is this a new wing or just a new exhibit?
It's just a new exhibit. It's where, if anybody listening has been to the Rock Hall, it's where the Super Bowl halftime exhibit was. So it's in the middle of the main exhibition hall.
So is this like there for a year, 2 years?
They didn't say what the closing day was. I know it's there through the summer, and it's kind of neighbors with the 50 Years of Hip Hop exhibit.
All right. So if you haven't been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland in the last couple of years, it would look fresh when you walk in now?
Very fresh. They've added, you know, in the last 2-3 years really is the point. They've added so many new things.
All right.
To it, and it's really, it's you know, beyond fresh, and they're getting ready to add a 50,000 square foot addition.
What is the admission? 50,000 square foot addition? How big is it right now?
Isn't it?
Yeah, how big is it now?
It's already, I would say, I don't know for sure, but it's already got to be between 70 and 100,000 square feet, so. But they do, they have a garage full of stuff that they still can put out on the exhibition, and also more, a larger space means these changing exhibitions can be that much bigger and laid out and given more space.
I always thought going to a Hard Rock was kind of like being in a museum when you saw like Keith Richards' guitar for this or Jimi Hendrix outfit for that, but you know,
then you can also get chicken wings there. So,
you can get pizza at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and other snacks.
What's admission? What is admission to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'll be the privileged media person and say I don't know.
Okay,
because I haven't had to pay it. I know if you are a resident of Cuyahoga County, it's you know, it's free, but you know, that's if you live here.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a lot of museums do.
So it's the international the month of the woman or women's.
That's right. It's Women's Month, so it's very appropriate that it opened.
That worked out pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah. Do the Spice Girls have a big exhibit there?
The Spice Girls are not part of it, and I don't know if that's just because they wouldn't give them anything, or if the curator just didn't care. But there is Spice Girls news.
Yes.
So earlier this week, they posted a video. It's a real quick clip. It's like 30 seconds long, but of their audition tapes.
Really?
You know, their audition videos back 30 years. They're celebrating the 30th anniversary. So you can see each of the five of them doing some auditions and kind of, you know, getting to know each other.
I want to see the girls that didn't get in the band. Who didn't? You know,
I don't know. There isn't like a Stephen Stills in the Spice Girls. You know, he very famously auditioned to be part of the Monkees.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody has come out and said, you know, like Adele has never come out and said, I tried out for the Spice Girls or anything like that.
I don't even care if
we've not heard of anything.
I just want to see some of the girls that didn't make it. What didn't they have that the girls who got in did?
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Like American Idol.
Send a note to spicegirls.co.uk. Tell them that's what you want to see.
Are they all approximately the same height and kind of weight time?
No. You have Mel B, who's the Amazonian, and then you have baby Emma Bunton. You have Baby Spice.
If you have to ask that after 40 years of Spice Girls, you are not a fan.
They looked like they were a matching set.
Mel B, by the way, Scary Spice did come out again this week and say there will be a Spice Girls reunion sometime this year. She did not say where, when, or who all will be involved. So you can take that. You can take that with a grain of salt and spit it out at this point.
Well, they always manage to breathe enough life into their story to keep them alive. You know, just every now and then there's just, hey, you know what the Spice Girls are doing.
Yeah. No, they've kept it, you know, much of not unlike New Kids on the Block, who, by the way, just announced their first new album in 20-odd years. You know, this week.
Donnie Wahlberg is taking time off from Blue Bloods.
Danny Reagan.
They're going to be touring this summer. They're going to have a new album out. You know, they keep it going. And I'll tell you what, they're a show I don't miss when they come to town
because
they're still in. First of all, they're still in great shape. I mean, both physically, vocally, they sound good. They do fun shows, and they get the joke.
Okay.
You can see them when they're on stage. They know how silly it is that there are guys in their, I think, 50s at this point.
Well, their audience has to be in their 50s as well, right? I mean, these are moms.
It's a range. It's grandmoms, moms, and kids and grandkids. But it's a lot of fun. And as I always say, I think it's a lot of fun because they get the joke.
You know, there's an episode of Blue Bloods where
they reference it.
Well, some friend of his takes him to a karaoke bar and he starts singing Start Me Up at the end of it.
That's great. Although it would have been even funnier if it was a New Kids song.
Right, but you know.
Hey, I don't see it on the list this morning, but Steve Lawrence passed away yesterday. Now, he is not really contemporarily, nobody has followed Steve Lawrence for some time. But he had his hits back in the late 50s.
Oh, well, he and Edie Gourmet. I mean, they were a prototype of a particular kind of entertainment, you know, performing arts center, supper club.
Yeah.
You know, type lounge of entertainment.
And, bow tie, and, right, tuxedo.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, big time lounge act.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't playing the saloon. They were playing, you know, nice rooms, and she was wearing nice gowns, and he was wearing a tuxedo.
Well, he was on Broadway too. I mean, he could act and sing and hit his marks and stuff.
Some talent, you know, genuine talent there. But yeah, he just passed away. I believe that was yesterday.
Yeah,
that he passed away.
It was a good and a bad week for Irving Azoff. The good news is he got Brian Ferry.
Brian Ferry from Roxy Music. Yeah, so Irving Azoff and his artist group. Which is blowing away everybody at this point in terms of buying copyrights and catalogs. He made a deal with Brian Ferry from Roxy Music for half of Brian Ferry's, sound recording, publishing, name, image, likeness rights. So, you know, that means something, especially in Europe. I mean, you know, there are a handful of Roxy Music songs that are very marketable, and there's an image, a very James Bond-like image to Brian Ferry that's also very marketable. So a good, you know, a good pickup.
Okay. So Irving grabbed them, and Irving is eventually going to own all the music rights. He just is at the rate he's going.
The thing to watch now is, I know I've spoken before about this Hypnosis company that Nile Rodgers co-owns with somebody, and that's, it's a British-based company, and they are tanking. They've been hit by a couple of scandals, and their stock price is going down. Look for possibly Irving or the other big player in this world as primary wave. Look for them to maybe go pick up Hipgnosis and then, you know, almost double their catalogs of holdings, you know, in the future.
Irving's going to be one of the most powerful guys in showbiz by the time this is over.
He is one of he is and has been. A guy owns Live Nation and Ticketmaster, so right there.
Top 10 already.
Andy has the Eagles, who, going back to your good and bad week, the bad part of it was this suit over the written lyrics, the manuscripts for the Hotel California lyrics, got booted out of court by the judge this week. The judge felt that the Eagle side, particularly Irving and Don Henley, had misrepresented a lot of their claims, and they were claiming attorney-client privilege in a number of matters, and the judge was, you know, and I guess the prosecutor, you know, who brought the case on behalf of the Eagles, you know, Don Henley and Irving Azoff, the prosecutor actually went to the judge and said, listen, there's some stuff here that, you know, that was not adequately represented. And, yeah, they did what attorneys are supposed to do in full disclosure. And after hearing that, the judge says, look, you guys are just effing around with this. And, you know, you are not representing yourselves in good faith. So, you know.
Was it dismissed with prejudice, or can they file again?
They can file a civil suit. They can file a civil suit in the matter. As far as a criminal case, the judge pretty much booted it.
Does Don Henley feel like going back to court and going through all that again, or is he just like, fine, you keep him?
Henley's attorney says he will. He came out and said, you know, Don's been victimized again, you know, by this ruling. So, you know, we'll see you in civil court. And I guess, what's the lyric? The judge says you can arrive anytime you want, and you can leave.
Is that what they say?
You can leave. No. I could have delivered that one a lot smoother, but
I think it plays. All right, let's stay in the courtroom here. Sammy Hagar wins his lawsuit.
Yeah, Sammy won a case against. So there's a franchisee saying he has a Cabo Wabo in Hollywood, and Sammy says, "Well, no, you don't. You never signed, you know, we don't have a deal here." And the court ruled in his favor and issued an injunction against this franchisee opening a Cabo Wabo on Hollywood Boulevard. And this goes back to Sammy and his former business partner in Cabo Wabo are at odds right now. They're in court. And so what I'm taking from this is the franchise right was granted by the partner and not by Sammy. And while it's unclear who has the right to grant a franchise, a Cabo Wabo franchise, nobody can open up a Cabo Wabo.
Unless Sammy says you can open a Cabo Wabo.
Even then, I think the former partner could come back and say, no.
Okay.
My granddaughter would say, you can't until we know who can grant franchise rights for Cabo Wabo. Nobody.
So that one's closing. Yeah. That one will be shutting down, or they'll be changing the name.
It won't be opening. You know, it's not open yet, so it won't be opening.
All right.
And then the other big legal news of the week was Earth, Wind, and Fire won a lawsuit. I got a trademark infringement lawsuit against the Earth, Wind, and Fire Legacy Reunion. Now, that is a group of former sidemen who are running around saying, you know, under that name, Earth, Wind, and Fire Legacy Reunion. The real Earth, Wind, and Fire rejected to that on a number of grounds, including, we're still here. We're still touring.
Yeah.
There is still an Earth, Wind, and Fire. To use Earth, Wind, and Fire with anything else is blatant misrepresentation.
So they can't. Could they say we're an Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute band? Because there's plenty of tribute bands out there.
You'd have to do a name like September Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute, or
I'd be Dirt, Breeze, and Embers.
There you go.
And sure. even then, you can't. You know, using just those words, Earth, Wind, and Fire, in that context, could be trademark infringement as well. So apparently, this took the court in Miami 5 minutes to decide. I mean, the judge didn't even leave the stand.
Wow.
Just said
almost like traffic court.
I know. It's very much like that. So, you know, and it's, you know, I'm surprised there isn't more of this in the tribute world. I think the attitude really is, first of all, most of these tribute bands are so small time. What are you really going to get from them? And secondly, okay, they're running around paying tribute to us. That only helps us in a way. It doesn't hurt us, other than most of these bands are crap, you know, but it at least keeps the name out there. And the real tribute, but the big name tribute bands, the Brit Floyds, I forget which one is the name of the big Queen, but they actually work with the band, and they get their permission, and they get their sign off. And in the case of like a Brit Floyd, or there's the Musical Box, which is a Genesis tribute band out of Toronto, they get actual gear from the band that they get to use in their shows. So, you know, and that makes them, you know, that works for everybody. You get a high quality tribute show, and, you know, for the tribute act, you get the endorsement of the band you're paying tribute to, and that means you can play, you know, a real venue rather than a club.
Hmm. Hey, it looks like you can add a chapter onto your Alice Cooper book, or a couple of pages.
Oh, right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Alice Cooper is now, well, he's a fossil. No, he's not a fossil. We know that. But Danish scientists have named a newly discovered Jurassic period creature after Alice Cooper. It is called the Serpula Alice Cooperi. It's a 190-million-year-old fossil. It's described as a marine worm with a crown of tentacles and a protective tube. Hey, now, it could be used to hide in to avoid predators. So,
I was hoping it was a dinosaur with teeth and claws and everything.
Not quite.
Yeah, no, they're not finding those. They're not finding those anymore. They're finding the stuff the dinosaurs ate.
All right.
So, you know, he's not the first heavy rocker to have a fossil named out of him. You have you know, King Diamond, Gojira, Rotting Christ, Deep Purple. Yeah, he's part of the menagerie here.
Bono and Dolly Parton have a couple of books coming out.
Well, Bono's book has been out. It won the Audi,
oh, right,
the 2024 Audi Awards for the audiobook, which he narrated, which, by the way, is fantastic. Well worth picking up. And then Dolly Parton and her sister are going to be publishing a cookbook. This comes out on September 17th.
As if Dolly doesn't have enough to do already. A cookbook now.
It sounds like her sister, Rachel Parton George, did the heavy lifting here, because Dolly says in their statement, you know, I like to cook, she likes to cook better, and it was just fun to do this cookbook with my sister. It's called Good Looking Cooking, and some of the recipes include ham and biscuits, family favorite meatloaf, and slaw of many colors. I don't know if I want to eat a slaw of many colors. Regular slaw color is more than enough.
Well, yeah. As a cooking show, we're obviously interested.
Few different, colors in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want monochromatic slaw either, you know.
Yeah, you want your carrots.
I'd be much more comfortable with monochromatic slaw than I would with slaw of many colors.
All right, what are we finishing with, Gary?
What are we going to finish with today? Why don't we run down the weekend Taylor Swift, just a few things. She, as of right now, you can stream the concert movie on Disney Plus. She bumped it up a few hours, which means you can do that right now. An insider also says that she has written love songs to Travis Kelce, but we're not going to hear them yet. They will be coming. And finally, it was revealed this week that she is a distant relative to Emily Dickinson, a poet who she admires. She's expressed great admiration for, but Ancestry.com, you know, the genealogy company, has done the work and ascertained that Taylor Swift and Emily Dickinson are sixth cousins three times removed, which means they could marry each other. or their children could marry each other, or in this case, Taylor's eventual children can marry Emily Dickinson's great-great-great-great-grandchildren.
Well, so now, Emily Dickinson, did she have kids?
I don't know. I would have to look at that.
Because, you know, if she did and they did, then somewhere out there are some cousins who might not realize they're cousins with Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure all the distant Emily Dickinson cousins are now going to be trying to cash it in for tickets to Taylor Swift shows.
Boy, if Ancestry.com wanted to do a little PR work here, they could figure this all out for all
of us. Figure it out. See who it is.
Do some family reunited stuff.
Yeah. I did Ancestry. I didn't see Emily Dickinson in there anymore.
One of the three of us might be in this mix.
I was wondering that. Yeah. You get some real watered-down version of it.
Because all three of us seem like we could be descended from the same chain line as Emily Dickinson.
Who knows?
And we'll throw Rock in there, too.
All right, Gary. Okay. You go enjoy. Right, you guys, are you staying in Cleveland today? Are you going home today? What's the deal?
For a little bit. We're headed back in a little bit. We're gonna do the town for a few minutes at least.
And you're at South by Southwest next week?
No, not going. It no longer. That has come to the point where it no longer makes.
I knew it.
Sense.
Because it's not the thing it used to be.
It's not what it was. Especially music is the third place citizen in of the three elements of that festival.
You're not going to go see Meghan Markle speak,
right? Yeah, no, you can see that online.
Okay,
all right, Gary.
Yeah, it's not cost effective. So yeah, we'll be talking live and in person as we usually do next week.
Thursday.
Yeah, because we're
next Thursday.
We're hitting the road on Friday.
Yep. Yeah. Right. So we'll talk Thursday.
Glad
okay.
Somebody told me.
All right, Gary. We'll talk to you then.
Okay, you guys, take it easy.
Gary Graff, our music guy.